Today on Rocking the Suburbs,
we pay tribute to Ronnie Spector. Say goodbye to Hollywood. All right, sad news out of the pop music world. Ronnie Spector, famously of the Ronettes, died of cancer at age 78 recently. I think, Patrick, here on Rockin' the Suburbs, I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
I think this is notable, Patrick, mainly in, well, here's the thing. If you look at the Ronettes catalog, it's thin, right? They had some big hit songs and are considered, you know, pioneering for the girl group era. But, you know, they really only had one, like, true album that they released. And then, and of course, they were very involved in the Phil Spector Christmas Gift for You, which I think was a big thing that had lasting impact. And then Ronnie Spector, you know, for a lot of different reasons, did not have a solid solo career a la, say, like a Tina Turner or somebody like that.
Right.
But the outpouring of tributes and, you know, emotion and all of this following Ronnie Spector's death, obviously, and from fans and, you know, musicians and people in the industry and all of that, obviously shows that that impact was outsized, I think, for the, you know, compared to the output, right? That what she did really made a difference, I think, in rock and pop music.
Absolutely, yeah. Jim. And the influence she had on people that were really important to a lot of music fans also means a lot, you know, by osmosis, essentially, for what it meant to, you know, George Harrison and Bruce Springsteen and Brian Wilson and all that.
Right, exactly. 100%. I was thinking, you know, why don't we, instead of us just talking, you know, right now about this, why don't we go back into our archive? There was one episode back in 2018. It was in the 400s somewhere. We did a Perfect Pop episode, and one of our favorite listener friends, Paul Trapp, he made a Perfect Pop pick of the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and we talked about, you know, her and this song a bit there. So why don't we just, you know, go back and roll that tape?
Perfect.
So, Paul, what is a perfect pop song?
Well, I really like the series that you guys put together. And I was thinking, what is the proto perfect pop song? What might be the first? And my candidate would be My Baby by the Ronettes.
Oh, wow.
That song, and I'm not arguing with you here because it is a perfect pop song.
Oh yeah,
absolutely, in anybody's book, I think. But why did you choose it?
Well, I think the song really grabs your attention right from the start with that drum beat and lets you know that you're in for something special. Great harmony, you get the Ronettes, Phil Spector. I also think the song, it seems like the verses are, staccato is the wrong word, they kind of build energy and then it releases during that chorus. I also want to encourage everyone to go to YouTube, and if you search Ronettes and the TNT show, there's a live performance of them performing this, and the TNT show was a sequel to the Tammy show. I don't quite remember what Tammy stands for, teenage something, but that show's legendary because of the James Brown performance in it. Plus, The Stones are in it, and Chuck Berry and the Supremes. The TNT show is a little more unloved because, like, Roger Miller is a star, and no offense to Roger Miller, but it's hard to think of him as a teen idol back then.
Yeah.
But that clip of the Ronettes singing Be My Baby, Ronnie Spector is this young girl. She's in total control of her universe during that performance. And so to me, that's my second favorite filmed performance after the James Brown piece on the Tammy show. Now, if you stick around, their second song is Shout by the Isley Brothers. That's not worth sticking around for, but you need to see the Ronettes on the TNT show performing Be My Baby with Terry Garr dancing in the background.
As a really? Oh, wow. Yeah,
fantastic. So Be My Baby came out in 1963. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, Phil Spector produced the Ronettes, Ronnie Spector, the lead singer. There's so many things I could say about this. Really quickly, I'll just say that one thing makes it perfect is her voice.
Yeah.
Not just the way she sings, but just the actual sound of her voice is just so unique. It's just perfect for this song.
Cuts
just
you right to perfect. The core, yeah.
It also has her little trademark, you know, you know, little bits that she does. And so well done in here. You mentioned the drums. So Hal Blaine was the drummer. He was with the Wrecking Crew. What I really love about his drumming on that, like I said, it's so distinct and unique. You remember the drums from this song just because of the little fills and the beat that opens it up. What I think is really interesting just from a production standpoint is you have the Phil Spector wall of sound, which its trademark was that you really couldn't pick out the instruments that much. It was just so much stuff in the mix that they recorded that it just gave it this wall. But that makes the drums stand out even more because that is like the one thing that you really hear, right? You hear her voice, you hear the drums, and then you just hear this like massive music. I mean, and then just from a composition standpoint, I think the song is just one of those perfectly simple, beautiful little songs, you know? And I think the lyrics, there's nothing particularly deep about it, but they're so profound in a way, you know what I mean? That it makes it so relatable. And then also, it served as an inspiration to Brian Wilson, who wrote Don't Worry Baby after he heard this song, which is another incredible pop song, right? So, so many things with this
I'm
song.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Jim, because as a young man sort of devouring music history and reading, you know, the Rolling Stone Encyclopedia of Rock and Roll or whatever it was, you know, one thing that stuck in my mind and still to this day, as soon as I heard that song, Brian Wilson called it the greatest pop record ever made. So that's all you really need to say.
During my visit here to the headquarters of Rock in the Suburbs, I got to meet Jim's jukebox.
Yes.
And I
yes.
just wanted to bring up that the 45 that Don't Worry Baby is on is, to me, the greatest 45 of all time because it's the B-side of I Get Around.
Right.
And, like, well, how did that end up being the B-side? Because aren't they usually a throwaway song?
Yeah. Most of the time.
It's a double A.
Yeah, it really is.
Great pick. Any thoughts, Nick, on Be My Baby?
For the first time, really thought more about some of the other percussion. I mean, you hear the drums, but there is a clanking little castanetti sort of things going on.
Yeah.
Really, there's just a lot going on with that percussion track that really propels the song.
Great point.
That's the, you know, that was the Spector way, right? Just throw more stuff in there.
Keep piling on. Yeah. Yeah.
It's great. Patrick and I have made several, you know, perfect pop song picks, and you can go back and you can hear those. But this one, I'm glad you picked it because it was always sort of sitting there and I was going to do it at some point because I honestly, if I had to pick just like one song that I think is absolutely the most perfect, probably Be My Baby. I mean, it really is that great.
All right, there you go. So I promised you'd hear Paul Tripp. You also heard a little of Nick Scalera, but mostly you just heard me yapping on and on and on. So I apologize for that, people. But anyway, I think, you know, for Ronnie Spector, I mean, being in this particular group with that wall of sound, I mean, people, I think, associate that wall of sound maybe first with the Ronettes, right? Was just this perfect blend. Her voice, so distinct and so interesting and so, like, captivating that it cut through that wall of sound and just blended with it in a perfect way, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely, Jim. And listening back to Paul and you talking about that, it definitely brings that right to mind that you had to have something as equally powerful as this incredibly powerful wall of sound to actually make it work. You know, I think there are many examples of singers who maybe got overwhelmed by the instrumentation, right? Or they were just kind of another decoration, but not in her case at all. And, you know, reading about her a little bit, you know, as I said, it definitely struck me that her influence on the people that were so influential to all the music we loved and music makers that we love throughout music history is really a key component. And you were saying too, there's a, you know, there's a little anecdote that she kind of in one way kept the E Street Band together at one point because of Bruce was in, you know, kind of that wasteland period, right? Where couldn't record in the studio because of the contract with his first manager. And I'll tell you two things that I noted that were really, really interesting. There's a great song where Ronnie Spector duets with Southside Johnny on a song called You Mean So Much to Me, which is actually a Springsteen composition. It was on the first Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes album, I Don't Want to Go Home. So look that up if you can and check it out. And also the fact that in I was looking this up and always been a collector of Springsteen stuff and live shows, especially right old tapes, especially back in the 80s. I would get a lot of those live bootlegs. But there is a famous show in 1976, November 4th. This was during the wilderness years when Bruce couldn't really record and was, you know, kind of a post Born to Run tour. He was playing live a lot. Final show of a 6-night stand at the Palladium in New York City. Ronnie Spector came out with the band, and they did three songs with her. Three, you know, Ronnie Spector and Ronette's tunes, which is pretty amazing and kind of a legendary, you know, thing. With arrangements by the E Street Band, it's you know, it's pretty amazing. Baby, I Love You, Walking in the Rain, and Be My Baby. And then that was one of the encores. And then legendarily, Bruce comes out, and you can find this on YouTube pretty readily if you just type in November 4th, 76 in Springsteen. He does a long, amazing cover of We Gotta Get Out of This Place. And that's, you know, one of the most legendary Springsteen nights of all time.
That's cool.
Yeah, very, very cool. But, you know, her spirit permeated, you know, a lot of music from the Beatles to Brian Wilson, and obviously the Beatles, you know, and George Harrison covered Brownette's songs and all that. So, it, you know, and I think, too, without going into, you know, what happened with her, you know, marriage to Phil Spector and all the dark stuff that she went through, she also stood as a great symbol of tenacity, never giving up hope,
right,
and believing in yourself, right? Even though you go through some really, really bad times. And she was legendary enough that in the 80s, I mean, Eddie Money had that song, right, you know, and she duetted, yet it was kind of a song about her,
right,
you know, it was just like Ronnie said,
right,
be my little baby. And then right, she comes in and starts killing it. So.
Right. Love it.
Yeah.
That's one of my, actually probably my favorite sort of like features, right, guest appearances,
yeah,
ever on a record. I think it's just works so well. And love that. And well, I think you covered pretty much all the high points. Like you said, you know, she eventually married Phil Spector, and that, you know, was a terrible, abusive, captive relationship apparently, and just horrible. And
yeah,
so this, the survivor thing, similarly to Tina Turner, interestingly enough, comes through in that, mm-hmm, one, that she was able to sort of reestablish herself and work with all these people like you mentioned. And that E Street Band story from the late 70s was, yeah, like you said, Bruce is in these contract disputes. He basically couldn't pay the band anymore. There was threat that they were going to break up. You know,
yep,
they could just go find work elsewhere. And I think it was Steve Van Zandt came up with the idea, well, let's just bring in Ronnie Spector and we'll record a single as Ronnie Spector in the E Street Band. And they covered a Billy Joel song that was also sort of a tribute to her. Lots of people writing tributes,
yeah,
to Ronettes. And it became enough of a hit, I guess, that it made them some money and got them through that period. So an amazing story there. The right, Ramones, too. Ramones, another big,
yeah,
band influenced by the Ronettes. And it's,
yeah,
and you know, you can hear it if you listen to it the right way. You can definitely hear that there. Joey Ramone, a huge fan, and he at one point co-produced an EP, a Ronnie Spector solo EP, where she covered,
amazing,
a couple of Ramones songs. She also covered Don't Worry Baby, which is the song that we,
yeah,
mentioned was, in, you know, inspired by Be My Baby. And you know, just so cool. Like, you just got the sense that that people
wanted to work with her, I think, you know, first and foremost, probably because it was like, that voice is so iconic. Let's get that on record. Want to hear that. But I think there was something too about her spirit that just really, people gravitated to, or they wanted that spirit in their recording session as well, you know?
Totally. Well said. And I think you hit it right on the head. She was kind of just had this magical component about her, and everybody who came in contact with her or her music certainly felt that way. Plus, I mean, you know, what an incredibly amazing person. When you looked at her, she had this classic style that, you know, that was so amazing. You know, it just kind of was timeless. I mean, it's like you see people down through history, whether it's James Dean or, you know, some iconic actor or singer or whatever, but she had that look. It just, nobody else looks like that. And she's the one that owned that, you know, all the way through the end of her life. So it's pretty amazing.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that was something it was hard for me to really put in context, because we didn't live through that time, you know, the early 60s.
Not at all.
You know, as old as we are, we're not that old. And so to read about how important the Ronettes also were for like their image, I found that was really interesting, that the girl groups to that point were, for the most part, you know, they'd wear dresses and they would have a certain kind of appeal to a certain sort of purity, I guess, if that's the right word, right?
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
They were the nice girls, right? The girl groups, right? And so with the Ronettes, it was the first time you saw a little bit of edge, I think, and some toughness to their look and sort of attitude, right? And you can see how that was probably a good fit right at that time, 1963, right? When things were just starting to change, right? And it allowed, I think, women to express themselves in different ways in music.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, by all accounts, when, you know, in the early 60s, 63, 64, they were on tour in the UK with the Rolling Stones, you know, everybody from Keith Richards to Mick Jagger all the way down just were completely, you know, agog at those women. And, you know, kind of amazing to to have that charisma and star power to be able to go toe-to-toe with Mick Jagger and the Beatles. Kind of incredible.
Yeah. So I think that's really important.
Yeah.
Okay. So Ronnie Spector, rest in power.
Rest in power.
And we took a little break here from the 2021 favorites series. So we'll get back to that tomorrow. And it works out nicely, I guess, because tomorrow we'll get into the intern favorites. Perfect. And then we'll have our favorites. So you're going to hear that for the next 3 days. All right.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Okay. All right, it's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you all tomorrow. As old as we are, we're not that old.